Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 30, an open invitation to all. Look at that first verse, chapter 11, verse 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works have been done, because they did not repent. This verse is important to the message of this passage because it clearly and straightforwardly sets up the issue. He began to rebuke because they did not repent. With that strong statement of introduction, Jesus deals with a problem that faces His church's mission to this very day. And what is that problem? Jesus shows us in this session the problem and the solution to the problem. First, Jesus made the problem clear. Look at verses 21 to 24. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted in heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Chorazin, Bethsaida, both of those cities were close to Capernaum on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Tyre and Sidon were situated further north on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Their destruction was prophesied in Ezekiel chapters 26 to 28, and history shows that it was accomplished in precise detail to the prophecy. And you, Capernaum, Jesus had chosen that city to be his ministry headquarters. There is no record of people there mocking him, ridiculing him, running him out of town, or threatening him. So what was the sin? Well, Jesus used a series of if, then scenarios. If this, then that. He said, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in, then they would have repented long ago. Verse 21. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in, then it would have remained to this day. Verse 23. You know, it's like the repentance of Nineveh after Jonah's proclamation. He proclaimed in Nineveh God's coming judgment, and everyone repented. So what sin was Jesus addressing? What was the problem? What was his sin? Indifference. No response, either for or against. They were simply indifferent to the mighty works of Jesus Christ that were done in their midst. Their sin was not any worse than that of other cities. They were simply apathetic, just indifferent to their sin. The truth made no impact. The work of Jesus did not matter to them. It was a nice speech. It was a nice show. Why? Why was it that way? They did not think they had any needs. They felt they were in control. They were successful, as the world defines success. They had sufficient financial resources and more. They had stuff, houses, cars, a nice bank account. Yet, they had no real commitment to Christ. They were not obedient to His word. It cost too much. It's kind of like Jesus' letter to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, second part of verse 14 down to verse 17. These things, says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were hot or you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus made the problem clear. Being self-sufficient and indifferent to the truth is sin. And then second, Jesus made the offer available. Look at verses 25 to 40. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus established that you cannot just reach out and grab truth. It must be received spiritually. Notice the sarcasm here. The Jewish leaders are identified as wise and his followers as babes. And yet God reveals his truth to the babes. It seemed good in your sight. Truth is only discerned spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spirit with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Truth is only received, it's only discerned spiritually, and truth is only received in humility. Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, verses 3 and 4. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Then, in that context, Jesus offered the only solution to the problem. What is that solution? Give control of your life over to Jesus. Respond to his word. Look at the imagery. Come to me. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus promised his way will more than sufficiently meet your need. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, the imagery here is of a yoke that's used with work animals. Usually for two ox or some other animals, you usually will pair together an older one with a younger one, a more experienced one with an inexperienced one, a larger one with a smaller one, a stronger one with a weaker one. The point is that the older one, the experienced one, the larger one, the stronger one, will be in control. And he already is trained in the way to work. And so the younger one will be in the yoke. And he may not like what's going on. He may not want to do all that work. He may not want to follow the instructions. He may not like the fact that his partner is somebody who's more powerful and larger. But you see, if you resist the yoke, it's hard and painful. But if you respond, it's easy and you learn. You see, as they're going along down the field, the younger, smaller, inexperienced one, he decides, nah, I don't need this, and he tries to go his own way. But the older, more experienced one, he's going to keep them moving forward, And any resistance, any fighting to get away from that is just going to cause pain. It's going to cause chafing in the neck. It's going to cause all sorts of discomfort. It's going to be hard. It's going to be painful that you resist the yoke. But if you cooperate, if you respond with the yoke, Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. Willingly take the yoke and learn from me. You see, it becomes easy. And you learn because when the leader moves, you move willingly and you learn. Jesus said, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus made the offer available. Let him be in control and respond obediently. You see, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, this is an invitation to stop trying to save yourself or fooling yourself into thinking that you don't have need of salvation. All ways do not lead to God. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Luke 9:23-25. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12. So important. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then look what verse 13 says. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Yeah. You have a great day.